scene of COP21. 50,000 people are going to be there. Journalists, environmentalists, campaigners, politicians, negotiators, people from all over the world, with the hope that they will be at the birth of a new global treaty that will really change the world in a way that we haven't seen today. And I'm posing the question, really, can it be a real game changer for sustainable development? I really like this picture because I took it myself. It's in Paris, and it's on a day that goes down in my memory. Ireland beat France in rugby, so I remember taking it very well. Also, I had, you can notice the haze in the background there. Paris was having a very bad day with air, and it was an ozone issue. And I had just gone to the metro and bought €30 worth of tickets for my friends to go to the rugby when the mayor of Paris decided to make the metro free for everybody. So when I go back to Paris next month, I'm going to see if I can get my money back. But anyway, the last time we tried to do this in 2009, some of you, I imagine, were there and remember Copenhagen, all those sorts of things. And people ask themselves, what went wrong? What were the problems at Copenhagen? And I suppose to very briefly sum up, there was a huge sprawling text of 300 pages. There was a lack of, I suppose, reality about what could be achieved. You had a top-down idea of what an agreement could be that was going to be imposed on the countries. And for all those reasons, despite the presence of the global superstars of politics, President Obama and everybody else, a deal could not be done. Countries just would not live with it. They would just not do a deal at any price. What we're getting now, though, in Paris is a very different situation. And I think there are many reasons to be cheerful about the possibility of a deal. And here we have Mr. Ban and Cristiano Figueres on their bamboo bikes about to set sail for Paris. The key reasons I think that a deal can be done, there is a broad coalition of political support. There's no doubt about that. President Xi in China, President Obama in the United States, the European Union, India, they have all invested considerable political capital in this run-up. For the US and China, it's one of the areas in the world that they really agree on. And both presidents have staked, I suppose, some of their political credibility on it. There is agreement on the key pillars. Everybody who is there, everybody knows there has to be a legally binding deal. There is agreement that everybody will have to take on mitigation commitments. There is agreement that there will at least have to be $100 billion of cash on the table to help countries to adapt and to help them move to renewable energy. The INDCs, these commitments that countries have made, that Jacqueline's very familiar with, the commitments that countries have made in the run-up to Paris, we've had a review of them from the UN last week, and, you know, it's really good news. You know, if you add all those up together, according to Climate Action Tracker, they come in at somewhere around 2.7 to 3 degrees in terms of warming. That's not great, but it's a lot better than they were in Copenhagen. It's a lot better than they were even 12 months ago. In Lima, when they did the same exercise, it was 3.1. So the direction of travel is good. The commitment is there is good. If you look at the detail of what the countries are planning, it's really, really interesting. 80 of them talk about sustainable agriculture, and about 100 of them talk about water scarcity and water concerns and dealing with the issues relating to water. People talk about sustainable transport systems. So it's not just, you know, a random piece of paper that people put down on, oh, we'll cut emissions by 20%. They have thought about it. These are real plans from real countries, and they're quite realistic. So there's really good positive progress on that. Also, just this week, we had China and France saying that they thought a five-year review could be part of the deal in Paris. And this is critical because, as everybody knows, getting countries to commit is fine, but the idea that somewhere down the line somebody's going to review your work, somebody's going to take a yardstick to it and say, did you achieve what you promised or did you get what you promised, that's really, really important. And in this framework of getting a global deal where everybody will have to tell what they've done and then everybody will have to measure it 5 years later, that is really, really important. So I think there's a lot of good reasons to believe that a deal can be done. But I'm afraid there's also some reasons to be fearful. And these, remember poor Ivo de Boer in 2009 holding his head. He was left in a rather pitiful state, unfortunately, when it all didn't come together. We have some of the same reasons still plaguing this particular process. The big one is finance. I was in Bonn last week. There was a lot of division between the parties on the issue of finance. The richer countries want to expand the donor base. They want to get more countries to contribute to the pot of people who are giving money to help the changes to renewable and help to adaptation. The poorer countries are really struggling to get on board with that. They do not want to see that happen. The issue of loss and damage has coming up. This idea of climate compensation, It's really very divisive. The poor countries want to see it as an integral part of the deal. The richer countries are saying, we cannot do that. They fear this responsibility question. And when we use the word climate compensation, it gets people really, really agitated. The question of equity, that's still plaguing the process. This idea that countries need to be able to, we need to have a rethink on which countries take on commitments. We need to have a rethink on which countries put up finance. It's in so many parts of the deal as it stands. It's 50 pages right now, but it's in so many parts of it that unless we can get general agreement on that, it's going to be very difficult to make a deal. And I think one of the real problems here as well is the issue of the process itself. I think this is a process that's eating itself. You have 10 days left. There have been two negotiation sessions in the last 2 months, both in Bonn in September and October. I don't think any real negotiation took place in those places. We now have 10 days. The presidents and the leaders are going to come for one day, at least 9 days. It's 50 pages, and it's a text that looks like this at this moment in time. This is just the most recent draft. The purpose of the agreement, and you have A, B, C, and D, and number A, hold the increase in global average temperatures below 2 degrees, below 1.5, well below 2 degrees, below 2 degrees or 1.5, below 1.5 or 2, as far below 2 degrees as possible. These are all in brackets. These are all different country positions. They're all different groups of positions. That's just part A. You look at B, C, D, and E as well. And that's just the first and objective of the agreement. There are 1,500 brackets in this agreement right now. I do not know. You know, at the last plenary session, the Russian delegate got up and he said, guys, I think we need more time because the highest paid lawyer on the planet couldn't understand this document right now. And everybody, it was like tumbleweed blowing through the auditorium. Everybody was looking at their shoes. Nobody wanted to address the issue of more time. So they basically kicked the ball forward to Paris in a better state than it was in Copenhagen, but it's not a done deal by any stretch of the imagination as yet. And another thing, another factor that has to be factored in here, and this is slightly different, is the political factor. France really wants a deal. They really want to do something different from the Danes in 2009. Apologies, Bjorn. They do not want to have a failure on their soil. Laurent Fabius, the French foreign minister, he's tasked with leading the talks. The French ecology minister is Ségolène Royal. These two are not known to get on very well. In fact, they both ran for president or for nomination of their party for president in 2007. She got it, he didn't. There's very bitter feelings, hard feelings there. And of course, there's somebody between them as well. Hollande, who is Ségolène Royal, is the mother of four of his children. Fabius is his right-hand man. If things get really difficult, as they did in Copenhagen, will we see, Fabius pushed aside, Hollande taking the reins himself, bringing Royal as well. I don't know. I mean, it could make it all work really well, but perhaps it may not. We don't know. So I think Paris COP21, we could have a deal. Would it be a real deal or a meal deal? Will the wheels come off? Will the wheels go up? I don't know. Will it be a real breakthrough or will it be the ultimate COP killer? I really don't know as yet. We may get something along the lines of a 6 or 7 page agreement on which people can barely sign up to, and the other really difficult bits kicked off back into next year or something like that. I don't know. I think it's all still to play for. If there is success in Paris, and I say it, and it's a big if, and everybody hopes that it will be, but there are lots of problems there. There will be many people claiming to be the father of this success. I have one nomination for somebody who, I don't know if people will agree with this, but I think, you could argue, you can make an argument. I would make an argument that this man would deserve some toasting if there is a deal done in Paris. Because the idea of doing from the bottom up, of countries putting forward their ideas, of countries putting forward their own determined contributions to the idea, this bottom-up approach, this first came out with George Bush in 2007 and 2008 at the major economies meeting. And it's an uncomfortable fact of political reality, but that's what it is. But I don't think they'll be sending congressional telegrams to Crawford, Texas, if a deal is done. Anyway, I just wanted to give you a little brief run-through. Thank you very much indeed on the issues.